You're listening to the Ogden Outdoor Adventure Show, produced by The Banyan Collective. Find more mind-blowing podcasts at thebanyancollective.com and on iTunes. The Ogden Outdoor Adventure Show, adventure for your ears. We are joined today by JT Robinson, who led 10 years of his life as a pro telemark skier. He's been skiing here in Ogden for quite some time, from Wisconsin.
Yeah, born and raised.
Ski capital of the world.
Amateur stand-up paddleboarder.
Yeah. Amateur stand-up paddleboarder.
Got him out nicely on
Pine View today for his first stand-up paddle, so that was pretty cool to get him out of his element. And then he's crushing the trails on the mountain bike as of late. So, JT, let's talk about, let's set the scene here. When did you get into skiing, and how did you become a pro teleskier?
Well, the get-in part's all Dad's fault. He taught me and my brother when we were little guys in Wisconsin at Wilmot Mountain, which was actually just bought by Vail just recently,
Years ago I said this. Years ago, I'm going to only be happy when there's one ski resort, and we're getting closer to that happening. I feel that we're going to be narrowed down to two here sooner than later. But when they decide who's going to win that Monopoly game.
Yeah.
I'll start skiing more.
I think Nordic's going to hold out. They'll be the last holdout.
It's just way too inconvenient for me. If I could just pay $1,000 rate or something like that.
Like per day? Cool. So in Wisconsin, the skiing there is like...
small. Wilmot's about, I think it's 250 vertical feet or something in that range. So it was a lot of like man-made stuff. Moguls were the thing when I was in school. I enjoyed it. I was big into high school sports, but then skiing was always like the fun hobby thing I did, and I really enjoyed it. But then after I was seeing like the team sports thing, kind of like, okay, I want to go skiing. Mm-hmm. So when it came college time, I decided I want to go out west and do some skiing. And so I started looking around at colleges and like Colorado and things like that, and it was expensive.
Right.
But Weber State University here
in Utah.
Yep, great, bleed purple and the whole thing. Yeah, but it was really great, actually, for me, and it was affordable and also literally 20 minutes from Snow Basin, so I was sold. So then I came out here, and then the telly thing starts at 20. One of my buddies that I started skiing with, Ben Geiger, got into it and was like, you should try this out. There were some guys here in Ogden that were really good, like Paul Wright and Jeff Lee, up at Snow Basin that I'd met that like made it look fun. So then mm-hmm. it was like, okay, I need to try this out.
Mm-hmm.
So we switched to telly, sold all my Alpine gear, and never looked back. I've only Alpined a couple days since, but
days skiing versus days in school.
Well, that was the other beautiful thing about Weber is I could arrange my schedule. So I literally went to school on Tuesdays and Thursdays all day long, but then I had every other day to ski. So I was skiing 5 days a week on average, really. So
how good of a skier were you before you switched to tellies?
I thought I was pretty good. I was 18 and 19 years old.
You were good at everything.
Yeah. I was not short on confidence, never have been.
I like it.
That's good. That's actually a good thing.
Yeah, I felt like I was pretty good, and when I switched, it took me a whole year to like get back to like skiing the same things I was before I switched, which was a total humbling experience. Like, I think I'm a good skier, and then I jump on tellies, I'm like, no, I'm not a good skier.
That's crazy. So what was the pro telly scene like, and when did you finally think that's something I could probably do?
Yeah, well, when I switched, I had no idea there was even a scene. I just thought it was cool, and so I started doing it, and I bought a movie from Unparalleled. Was this movie company back in the day, and I saw this movie of telly skiers. I'm like, oh, these guys actually do this stuff. Like, there's sponsorship and all this kind of thing. And that was like 3 or 4 years after I had gotten into it and started skiing tough on it. And then so I saw that, and I was like, oh, this is cool. And I heard about extreme skiing competitions on telemark skis too. And they were actually going to do one here at Snow Basin, but it got canceled like last minute. And Paul Wright, that guy, one of my mentors, was going to do the comp, and he had done a few in like Jackson and stuff. So I was like, cool, I'll go check this out. And so that was my senior year at Weber. I went to a comp in California and embarrassed myself, and then went to another comp in Crested Butte and finally figured it out, because it's like a different game. It's like not just skiing. It's like a whole game where you're like trying to score points skiing. But once you figure out the game, it was a lot of fun. And then once I figured that out, I did pretty well at Crested Butte that year. And I was like, oh, well, I can get a sponsorship from DeSant North America, who's here in Ogden, and I know a guy who knows a guy, and maybe I could talk to someone. And so I picked up a sponsorship from them, and next thing I knew, I was like, okay, well, this is viable.
Sure.
And I was graduating that fall, too, where I'm like, okay, I was all lined up to go work for Merrill Lynch as a financial advisor in Chicago. Like,
wow.
Had the gig lined up and everything, and had to literally call them and be like, hey, I'm not going to show up day one because I'm going to go do this other thing.
That's crazy. Now, and we talked briefly right before the show about how wealthy everyone in the outdoor industry is. And you said that, that's a decision you make, and you have, that's an extreme decision because you have a job lined up with Merrill Lynch in the financial industry, which is fast track to potential wealthy lifestyle. And you chose to go a different direction. Why? What was that in your head that made you do that?
It was really hard decision to make. Like I labored on it for a long time. It was like looking for signs from the universe to tell me what to do. I guess when it really boiled down to like my senior year of finance school was like, it was office life, you know, in the business lab all the time. And even though I still skied a lot, I would spend ridiculous hours, especially at night, in office settings. And I kind of started to realize like there was no way I could work that world.
Mm-hmm. Watching the clock a lot.
But and like even though like the Wall Street scene is a little more like amped up and adrenaline, and I have a good friend of mine that's in that scene right now, and like he's totally into it and it's cool, but like for me, I grew up in the trade work and things like that, and it just, I started to see it wasn't going to be a good scenario for me to be in an office. And I had this other opportunity that was like awesome, like this is what I've always dreamed of kind of opportunities, mm-hmm. to go do this thing. And even though it's a total like switch from the income, I kind of made this rationalization like it's a quality of life over standard of living move.
In the industry, where does the telemark skier sit compared to your pro snowboarders, pro skiers, you know, because the telemark scene's a little different?
Yeah, totally. And this was like going on 12 years ago when I made that decision. It was a different world back then for telemark.
Pre-social media and...
Yeah, pre-social media and kind of pre... Well, right on the cusp of AT revolution, which is what we call it in telemark. I call it the AT revolution now that I'm on the more business side of the telemark world. And so there was a time when I first got in, there was guys making $20,000, $30,000 a year to be pro tele skiers, mm-hmm. which was like awesome. Like we were stoked.
Yeah.
But... nowadays it's way different because the AT, what we call the AT revolution, happened. The telemark market shrunk incredibly, and a lot of the companies that were in telemark when it was thriving through the late 90s into the 2000s got pretty big and got bought out by alpine ski companies, and those alpine ski companies got bought out by giant corporations. And so then they're living by spreadsheets, and they're saying, okay, telemark market size is just way too small now for us to divulge a bunch of budget towards that market. And so they started slashing athletes are usually one of the first things to go when things like that start to happen. So they started slashing athletes and how much they could make and stuff like that. So nowadays it's even different. And even back then, alpine skiers and snowboarders were fetching more dollars because it was a larger demographic even back then. Mm-hmm. But nowadays it's even more so that way.
Is there still a market for a pro telemark skier?
Yeah, there is. There's still a market. It doesn't fetch $30,000 anymore by any even comparable number.
So pro, there's like a poverty level.
Totally. And even the mainstream, because it's kind of like one of those things, like even alpine skiers, like most of them are not making a lot of money, and a few of them are making decent money. Mm-hmm. But most people that are choosing to be an athlete in the outdoor world are not making tons of money. And telemark, obviously, even more so because of the market size. It makes sense because it's... that's all ratio, you know.
So it's lifestyle, free skis.
Totally. Yeah. It was, when you first start out, it's definitely lifestyle, free skis, working out of your van kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And you can, you know, the better you get at the business side, which was kind of my specialty, the better more you can make it a viable option for yourself, which is still possible today. But
so if you're good at the business side, do you have advice for young up-and-comer? And it's different now because, man, if I've got 50,000 plus Instagram followers, like maybe they'll come, the companies will come calling after me instead. But do you have advice for young hustlers who are skiers? Is it racing? Is it, you know, the free ski touring? Like, what's sort of a better, or does it matter? Like,
yeah, I mean, this is one of my favorite things, because I did it a certain way with my friends here in Ogden when we were young coming up, and it was a pretty good formula that seems to work even better now, where we filmed each other at some mm-hmm. point. Like, I got into the pro scene and started getting in movie shots and doing things like that with movie companies, but it was hard to get out with a bunch of different movie companies, and a bunch of, they didn't have a lot of crews, so any given day maybe they were full and you couldn't get out and shoot. Well, my buddies and I that were here, I realized they were really great skiers too. We started filming each other and formed a little company and started supplying footage. Mm. So when I talk about young folks, I'm like, yeah, start filming each other, find a buddy that's into it, start filming each other and making content, because really that's your job if you want to be a pro skier, is to get content made. And you know, especially these days, making content is easier to do.
Yeah, and I always think authenticity sells, so make good, you know, content that's not overproduced necessarily, or just not you, maybe.
Yeah, totally. Authenticity is the word of the day right now, for sure. And just people that are into it and are into what you're doing, they want to know more about than just what you're skiing. They want to know what, you know, what it takes to do that skiing, what you do at night, what do you, you know. But mm-hmm. just start making content about the stuff you're doing, and then the business side, you have to have content to do the business side. So you kind of need content first. It's kind of a prove it industry from that side, on the athlete side, where you've got to kind of prove it first and then go ask for stuff. Because if you just go ask and you've got no proof, they're going to like, well, you mean your resume is everything you do. So you got to start making content, and especially with social media, getting it out, getting as many people to see it as you can.
And how serious were you when you were in it? Was it like diet, exercise, everything, 90, you know, 100% in or whatever, or was there some partying on the side that distracted you? Like, how where were you?
Yeah, well,
in the commitment
that's
level,
the ski industry especially, like, there's a certain amount of like partying is kind of part of it to a certain degree, a little
that's
bit.
What we say about podcasting.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. Oh wait,
it's just expected.
We're supposed to podcast what? Now, like, seven beers in.
Yeah, but I'm a super intense dude, and so pretty much anything I do, I go all in. And like, from my world in sports when I was in high school, like 3-sport varsity captain, like a student athlete of the year, like I was serious about stuff when I did it. And so like, training was an art and a science, mm-hmm. and like all that stuff was definitely there. And I like even developed my own program of getting in shape every fall, and like I have philosophy about when you got to peak as a skier and the season.
That's
and
cool.
How you want to build up and fall down and then rest time and all that stuff. Like I get way and still do, like everything I do I get super intense about. But
well, what do you,
that's like super creepy, because that's like our training regimen for podcasting. Because you don't want to peak too soon.
No, right.
Particularly at the wrong time of the season or whatever.
Yeah, you know, you get to the big dance, you got to be ready to go.
That's applicable in many mediums, I think. So you stood out to me because of your Instagram account. And yeah. Some of the stuff that you're doing around Ogden, your photos are awesome. Let's give everyone your Instagram handle.
It's just JT_Robinson. Pretty easy to remember.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, give JT a follow on the Insta. And we've posted his stuff to our Ogden Outdoor Adventure Facebook page a few times. What are you doing now? Where are you channeling your energy?
Yeah, so I had kids and decided it was
good answer.
Yeah. I had a little boy and decided it was time for me to slow down on the ski scene and taking risks. Because I don't care what anybody says, when you're trying to be a pro skier, you're taking a little more risk than your average person. And everybody has that choice once they have kids to whether they want to stay down that road or not. For me, it was like, well, I'm going to slow it down. I was getting older too. I waited to have kids till I was older, so it was all starting to show time to like slow down a little bit. And so I, in the last few years of my ski career, I had gotten hurt pretty big one year and like saw the light, like, okay, this isn't going to go on forever. Like, you got to start to see the future. So I started getting certifications and stuff for guiding. Mm-hmm. So getting avalanche certifications, wilderness first responder, that kind of stuff. And so that led me into the world I'm in now with Vertical Integration, which was the company I started making content back in college with my friend, which is like a whole other story. But that work led me to Telemark Skier Magazine. When I was supplying film for movie companies, I met a guy, Josh Madsen, and he ended up getting hired by Backcountry Magazine. Well, Height of Land Productions out of Vermont, they do Backcountry Magazine, Alpinist and stuff. Mm-hmm. They hired him. They owned Telemark Skier at the time. Mm-hmm. They hired him to be the editor. And since him and I knew each other from the movie scene and that stuff like that, he was a former pro. He created a team where they were content creator team. And so he called me right away. He's like, you've been doing this, you're an athlete and all that. So that avenue gave me light into that new world. So I was training up for guiding and now starting to do some work with this magazine and like learning these new skills. And so vertical integration then is now morphing into not just creating content anymore, but I'm gonna start hosting trips. Cause what started to find was that I would go do all these cool trips to make this content. I'd come home and like friends, just regular folks that weren't trying to be pro skiers or anything was like, that sounds awesome. I'd love to do a trip like that.
Yeah.
I'm like, well, that makes sense. All these same areas I've been going to for years that I know really well now, I can host a trip and bring some people out and guide and hire guides and do all that kind of stuff. To have these trips going. And so that's kind of like my game now is I do content work for Telemark Skier Magazine. I do some advertising sales for them too to help make the ends meet. And then I have this vertical integration company that makes content for not just Telemark Skier, but others. And then we'll start hosting some trips through that company as well.
Busy. I love the adaptability too.
Yeah, that's that. If you're talking about the advice for younger people, that to me is even the most important part is getting a diverse skill set. Mm-hmm. Which is when we did the VI thing here in Ogden, where we started filming each other and shooting each other, was like, oh well, we're just getting more skill sets, and it made us better athletes at the time too, because we would jump on the other side of the camera and see the perspective from the camera guy and be like, oh, well, if I were to make a turn here instead of there and really slash out that pretty light,
right,
then that would really look good. And so then we started getting better at everything just because we needed to diversify out of necessity. But then once we got into it, it's like, oh, well, the filming is fun too.
Yeah.
So now I'm like filming and shooting photos and stuff purely out of utility back in the day, but now I'm getting better and I'm like, oh, this is really cool. Like it brings a new element to my ski world and keeps me on snow and keeps me doing the thing I want to be doing instead of trying to go get a call Merrill Lynch again.
which wouldn't be bad.
Yeah, right. It's not a bad point, gig. Like I said, my buddy that does it.
All right. Well, what's your quiver? What do we got at home?
Holy smokes. I have a giant quiver in my shop. My wife thinks it's hilarious, but especially with Telemark, like this whole NTN versus 75 millimeter thing that's been transitioning over the years has made my quiver explode even more. But my day-to-day touring ski is a Vole Charger fish scale. I think it's called the BC. And I have a innovative new Telemark Tech toe binding on it from Mejo, where it's a tech fitting toe and it connects to the NTN second
Interesting.
Heel under
okay.
the boot.
Yeah.
What's your relationship with Vole?
There was a year where I skied for Vole when I was on that Telemark team. Then I went and skied for a few other companies after that for a few years and then came back to it because I just liked the stuff. Dave Grissom is a friend of mine.
He's a friend of ours as well.
Yeah. And so and they're a Salt Lake company. They make good stuff and, the fish scale thing is legit and they make good stuff with that. And so it was natural for me to just go call up Dave and say, you guys are cool.
Yeah.
I like your stuff. I'm going to buy your stuff now.
That's
that
awesome.
I'm buying stuff.
Yeah. Yeah.
But we started making skis. So that the guy, Josh Madsen, who owns Telemark Skier Magazine, started a brand, Freeheel Life. They have a shop actually in Salt Lake City, a brick and mortar ski shop that's all Telemark. And he just started making skis too. And with all the boutique brands, and I say too, like there's so many boutique brands these days, but he started making skis that are more geared toward Telemark skiing again, because that used to be a thing, like Telemark specific skis used to be a thing. And so when he starts making those now, and so that's pretty exciting for me too, because obviously I do work for him already. So I'm pretty excited to see what he's got going on. With me being a touring skier the majority of the time, he doesn't make lightweight stuff yet, but I'm pressing him from the back to start making lightweight stuff.
Yeah.
But the stuff he's making now, like the new one is, the new 801 is softer and has different flex patterns and stuff than the old 801, and he's really starting to dial it in. So it's like, it's getting pretty exciting. So I might be on his skis for the majority pretty soon. But.
Sweet. Who's, then, oh, go ahead.
No, well, if you're talking quiver, the other skis, I've got a larger Vole Charger that's longer, and that's more my like hero day ski. And then you've got the smaller one that's a little bit more like the everyday ripper. And then I always have what I call a little short and snappy. I always have at least three skis ready to go at any time, because it's like 3 inches or less, or like spring conditions or rough conditions, I get out my short and snappy little 160 Dina Star Sham.
Isn't that what we used to call you?
Short snappy.
Short snappy. I can't remember.
That was my hashtag.
I think that was it. Yeah. Short and snappy.
Yeah.
But just like everything else, I get pretty intense about that stuff too.
Yeah,
like,
no, cool.
I make bring three skis with you to the resort every day.
Right. I love it. We had an all right year last year.
Yeah. Yeah. We had an all right year.
How many days do you count?
I don't count anymore. I used to count when I was young, but I had to stop counting. Just because maybe I don't want my wife to know. No, she's cool with it. She gets
how many days you're away from the newborn.
Yeah, but she gets it, so it's not too bad.
You spending some time on the mountain bike these days?
Yeah. I'm going all in now with hosting trips and all that kind of stuff, so I needed to kind of diversify my skill set seasonally as well, going down the same thing. So I went and got an IMBA level 1 ride guide certification.
Nice.
Because I always liked biking, and I'm pretty into it, and I do it a lot. I don't charge downhill, but I like to spin it out and have some fun. So I added that to the repertoire this fall, and I'm trying to do some trips with that and stuff in the summer. But that's going to be a little more time, I think, until I figure that side out. But
sweet. How can people follow you? So you've got Instagram at JT_Robinson, and then you have a website too.
Yeah, www.jtrobinson.com. Pretty easy one to remember. The vertical integration site is thevigroup.org, and that's where I'll be hosting my trips through, is that. And that's on Instagram with vertical integration as well. So I work the internet pretty hard.
Yeah,
I work it pretty hard. It's the name of the game nowadays. Right. I was behind the curve for a while when I first, the guys at the magazine used to give me a hard time. Like anytime they'd come up with something new from the digital side, I'd be like, well, can JT figure it out? Like, yeah, okay.
I know. It's a baseline. That's good.
Yeah. But yeah. I figured out I needed to up the game, so that's where I started really focusing.
Soon to be pro stand-up paddleboarder.
Diversify the skill set, you know.
Diversify the skill set. JT Robinson, thank you so much for joining us on the Ogden Outdoor Adventure Show this week.